Welcome to the SWNZ podcast, the podcast for New Zealand Star Wars fans. My name is Matt.
And my name is Christy.
Today we're going to run through a list of recent news announcements that have come across our desk in the last week and have a bit of a chat about recent local store reports. Last week we introduced a little bit of information about the Mandalorian live-action television series directed by Jon Favreau. At the time that we were recording our podcast, Jon Favreau had just revealed a little bit of textual information on his Instagram, but the next morning, things went a little bit crazy when StarWars.com showed off the first picture from this television series. That picture, of course, was of a character presumed to be the Mandalorian in a suit of armor that looks like it's been made up from a number of different components, some of them slightly mismatched, but with a classic and easily recognizable Mandalorian helmet.
This was unexpected. I thought the small synopsis from Jon Favreau was going to be just a teaser to keep us sort of going for a while. I was not expecting to get a full photo from the set as soon as we have. The costume is fascinating to sort of break down and have a look at all the little components. It looks very recognizable. It does appear to be a masculine body type, though of course we could be wrong there. They have at least two blasters, it appears, a small blaster pistol on the hip with a longer rifle style across the back, and an interesting sort of brown toned color scheme with leather components and maybe a scarf or cape of some sort from around the neck. The helmet doesn't have an up range finder, or at least that we can see. There might be something on the right side of the helmet, so I'm sure passionate fans will be trying to craft their own versions to debut as soon as they can, so we might see some early prototype costumes popping up at conventions and seeing the photos online. But this is really exciting to get confirmation and our first look so soon.
I was actually pleasantly surprised by what I saw. I mean, sometimes I feel that the Mandalorian armor interpretations can be a little bit hit and miss, to be honest, if it's not executed well. And this one, even though it's got mismatched components, has a functional feel about it. It looks actually like you could move around. It looks like something that's practical in terms of wearing every day without quite as many restrictive hard armor components wrapped around the limbs in their entirety, just plates and so forth in place. But the bottom line is it was great to see. It was a nice clear photograph that showed a lot of detail and high resolution. And obviously, we're very keen to see more. I think it's an armor and a character that'll translate really well into toys, which is obviously something that's on the minds of Disney when they're creating this sort of character, this sort of visual concept.
It's possible they could be looking to introduce this sort of character as a character that you can meet at the Disney parks in the kind of outpost, Black Spire.
Well, that's true, yeah.
We don't know whether they'll visit Batu in this series. They might want to link it together.
We don't know for certain, but we do know that this is set in the outer reaches of the galaxy, far from the authority of the New Republic. That's a quote from Jon Favreau's Instagram. And Batu, of course, is showing up more and more in the Star Wars lore and the Star Wars canon and the Thrawn Alliance's novel, and it's been referenced a number of times on an ongoing basis. There's references to it in the Resistance animated TV series on more than one occasion so far already.
It certainly makes sense to link a few things together when bringing in a new planet to kind of give it a little bit of an exposure across different media outlets to tie in with their big theme park expansions opening next year.
So in addition to that image, StarWars.com revealed some really, really, really interesting news, particularly to Kiwis. The directors of a number of the episodes of the first series were announced, and the first one that jumped out at us obviously was Taika Waititi, who was a well-known New Zealand director, New Zealander of the Year in 2017, with a lot of big films to his name, to his credits, including, of course, Thor Ragnarok, which he did for Marvel Studios, which, of course, is owned by Disney, so he's got a strong connection there.
And he also directed Moana.
Yes, true, and was involved in the writing of the first draft, I believe.
Yes, he was heavily involved. Obviously, choosing actors... and voice actors for both of those projects. There are a number of New Zealanders in both Moana and Thor Ragnarok. So having him as a director there, it could be entirely possible that he would sneak a New Zealander or two into the cast as supporting characters and little cameo roles. He's certainly known to do that.
Indeed. So other episodic directors include Deborah Chow, Rick Famuyiwa, and Bryce Dallas Howard, daughter of Ron Howard, of course.
It's neat to see a balance of both male and female directors in this list. And it's neat to see Bryce Dallas Howard in that she is a fan of New Zealand, having spent some time here when her father, Ron Howard, was directing Willow in New Zealand. And she was also in Disney's Pete's Dragon, which filmed in here in New Zealand. And of course, her connection with her father directing Solo and having that sort of family connection to George Lucas and that sort of family. So that's neat to see a continued relationship there.
And rounding out the episodic directors will be Dave Filoni, who I think might be directing one of the earlier episodes, the first episode perhaps.
And he's also one of the producers on the show.
Other Star Wars news that's been covered in our News Digest. The Solo A Star Wars Story comic adaptation is out now. It's just come out in the last day or so. Might be a slight delay before it hits the shelves of New Zealand comic stores or New Zealand subscribers' mailboxes. But within this SWNZ News Digest, we have linked to some preview pages that have come in via Multiversity Comics. Check those out if you're interested in taking a look at that. On SWNZ News Digest, we talk about a slash film interview with model maker Bill George, who has been working on Resistance. I found this personally quite interesting. Bill George has been with ILM since 1981 and has built some of the most iconic models in sci-fi film history, from Star Wars to Star Trek. He had a role in models, making of the models for Ghostbusters 2, and he won an Academy Award for his work on Inner Space. His early work on Star Wars included building the models for the B-Wing, the Shuttle Tidarium, and the second Death Star, now quite early in his career. He's moved on from ILM and he currently works with Walt Disney's Imagineering Department in the theme parks, where he designs the construction of elements for Star Tours and currently working on Galaxy's Edge. But the current topic is that he has returned to do some work for the Resistance animated series, where he created the physical models of both the Fireball and the Colossus that are used for reference material for the animators for that film. So that's quite an interesting interview with some really neat pictures, photos. Check out the links to that on SWNZ.
It's neat to see some of the really classic ILM model makers and that still being involved with helping craft the look and feel of new Star Wars. I think it really helps bring in elements that feel familiar and feel like they belong in Star Wars.
So New York Comic Con took place over the past week and there were a number of big announcements that came out of that. We'll run through what we found out of in terms of publishing and action figures in particular. In terms of publishing, there was a Lucasfilm publishing panel with a number of different announcements at New York Comic Con. First on the list is a new announcement. Alexander Freed will be penning a book called Alphabet Squadron, which is due to arrive in about June of next year. Set after the Return of the Jedi, Alphabet Squadron follows a unique team of pilots, each flying a different class of starfighter as they struggle to end the war they fought so long for once and for all. Alexander Freed wrote the tie-in novel for the Battlefront video game, so he has a knack for writing heavily military-based novels and authoring stories from the perspective of people fighting on the front line and so forth. I read that Battlefront tie-in novel, found it an interesting read and an interesting perspective. Be interesting to see, therefore, what he does with Alphabet Squadron. Also revealed at that Lucasfilm publishing panel, the cover for the novel Master and Apprentice by Claudia Gray, due out next year. Master and Apprentice is the story of Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan Kenobi, set before the time of the Phantom Menace.
I'm really interested to see how they go about the story for this novel. Fans of the sort of prequel era novels may remember the sort of young adult series Jedi Apprentice by Jude Watson, which ran for quite a number of books over a space of a couple of years that followed Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, from Obi-Wan getting picked as a Padawan going up to not quite just before episode one. So we'll see how many elements of that are going to be re-canonized in this new book, or whether it'll be more of a blank slate and tie more directly into what we see in the films.
It's certainly an interesting point in the timeline that hasn't been deeply explored in the new canon just yet, so I look forward to reading that.
Yeah, it's a time period of the Star Wars where we see more of a stable balance in the galaxy. We don't have the Clone Wars going on, so we see the Jedi.
It's the golden age of the Jedi.
Yeah, when everything is kind of working for them. We know Sidious is obviously there and around, but he's only a senator at this point. He's working in the background, so he's not affecting things on a galactic scale. So I'm really fascinated to see where they take this novel.
And undoubtedly, Claudia will delve a little bit into how the Jedi Council functions, and the Master and Apprentice relationships function, I imagine. Rounding out the Lucasfilm Publishing panel news, there are a couple of new comics on the horizon. A series, a 5-issue series from Chuck Wendig called Shadows of Vader. I believe this tells the stories of a number of different individuals from around the Star Wars galaxy, and how Darth Vader and or their interactions with him, or his presence or his influence, affect them. And there's another Han Solo comic coming out entitled Imperial Cadet. So as the name suggests, this is looking at his time in the Imperial Navy.
We get a small glimpse of Han's experience in the Galactic Empire in Solo, so it'll be interesting to really sort of flesh that out. We got a little bit of more of an extended scene in the deleted scenes for Solo, so it'll be interesting to see at what time point the comics will really be set. Will it be, you know, his experiences as a pilot, or during the transition to when he's becomes part of the infantry?
Action figure news from New York Comic Con can be broken down into three main categories. For the very first time, we saw the reveals of the Resistance figures. These are the 3.75 inch scale figures. There's going to be 10 in total, I believe, in the first wave or two, made up of 6 individual figures, all of the main heroes, and a couple of 2-packs, which include some of the droids as well. These are highly stylized figures in an animated style, quite similar, I guess, in tone to the Rebels action figures in terms of style and design. Brightly coloured to go with the TV series. They're not going to appeal to everybody. They are targeting the 6 years old to 12 years old audience, but I think we may well end up with a small cluster of these on our shelves just to represent those characters.
I'll be interested to see if they eventually do some of the starship races. They could look quite neat with their custom decos and designs. I think those would be a fun addition, particularly ones like the modified TIE fighter.
The vintage collection is going strong. There's a long list of figures announced to keep everybody happy through 2019, and the long list of names revealed will also be interspersed by a number of characters that are not yet revealed. But the ones that we know about include the Scarif Trooper, Klaatu and Yak Face to go with the Jabba's Sail Barge that'll be hitting a few lucky people's front doorsteps sometime next year. Leia is Boosh, Gamorrean Guard re-release, I believe. Han Solo and Stormtrooper Disguise, a 41st Core Trooper, and an Imperial Assault Tank Trooper. Lots more figures from the Black Series as well, so the 6-inch scale. They've been done in a smaller scale, but now Dr. Aphra, 000, and BT-1 will be coming out. Obi-Wan Kenobi in clone armor from the Clone Wars Micro Series will be showing up next year. That's an interesting addition, probably fairly unexpected to see that interpretation on the shelves again.
I've always been a fan of the old Cartoon Network micro series Clone Wars, and it's been a little while since we've seen merchandise depicting any of the outfits or characters from the series. The Obi-Wan in clone armor was a particularly popular design. It showed up in a lot in the Gentle Giant range of collectibles. They did a maquette and a mini bust, and he was made in an action figure. So it's kind of neat to see some of these characters and designs from that series still being referenced to and reused.
I think I read on the official announcement about that even though he's not strictly a prequel character when he's wearing that armor, he is from the prequel era, and they described the introduction of this action figure as heralding a little bit of a celebration of the prequel starting next year, with next year being the 20th anniversary of The Phantom Menace, of course. So we may well see a bit more of a prequel trilogy theme showing up amongst Star Wars products next year, and this might be the tip of the iceberg.
It's certainly timely with this re-emergence of Darth Maul and sort of renewed interest in some of those characters. So I'll be really interested to see what merchandise and collectibles we'll be seeing being previewed in the coming months and releasing next year for that 20th anniversary celebration.
Other Black Series figures that we'll be seeing from Hasbro in the near future include the Imperial Rocket Trooper, as seen in Star Wars Rebels and Battlefront 2, Luke Skywalker in his Stormtrooper disguise with slicked back hair fresh out of the garbage compactor. And rounding out the Black Series announcements was General Grievous, and he'll have to fit into a larger box because of his physical size, and re-releases of Jedi Master Yoda, Revenge of the Sith era Anakin Skywalker, and a Scout Trooper without his speeder bike this time round. Each of those all with Hasbro's photoreal paint technology, mainly visible on the faces of human characters in particular. Also revealed during the time of New York Comic Con would be the manner in which Hasbro are going to re-release a number of fan-favorite older Black Series figures. These will be called the Archive Series. They will be released on what appear to be bubble cards rather than the boxes, so therefore collectors of the figures rather than collectors of the boxes. But we'll be seeing some classic previously released characters like Boba Fett, IT-88, and Bossk, I think, were the first ones shown in that packaging. The Star Wars show has just screened. This current episode reiterated a lot of the news about the Mandalorian TV show, which we've just covered. They also took a quick look at the latest project from ILM X-Lab, which is entitled Project Porg. It involves virtual reality porgs, but not a lot of other information about that just yet. But fans of porgs, there's something to possibly look forward to. The bulk of this show was based around an interview with Star Wars author and Robot Chicken writer Kevin Shinnick, who wrote the children's book Chewie and the Porgs, based on Chewbacca's episode 8 adventures. There's lots of good visuals from this book shown in that video clip, so if you're young at heart or have kids yourselves, you can get a little bit more information about that publication in the latest episode of the Star Wars show.
He also teased working on another possible book, so it'll be interesting to see when that comes out.
He gave no details, it really was a tease.
Yeah.
The mobile app Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, exciting news for some related to that, that has shown up online previously but was covered again in the Star Wars show. Tell us about that one.
After a long period of speculation and fan eagerness, Galaxy of Heroes and the app maker Capital Games have finally announced that Revan is finally being added to Galaxy of Heroes. Now, they released it as quite a puzzle that took quite some time for fans to work out. It was a very complicated Ourobesh puzzle that had to be translated into different formats before you finally came up with this really long string of letters that had a very small bit.ly URL, and even that one wasn't complete. It took you to a meme of a nearly there, and then when you finally solved the puzzle, it would take you to a short teaser trailer that finally revealed Revan. Now, they've finally done a blog post that goes through the process of designing the outfit of Revan. This is a light side version of Revan, which looks a little different than the classic Darth Revan that we predominantly see. This version of Revan is called Jedi Knight Revan, and he is depicted in the Starforge robes, which you as a player can earn when playing through Knights of the Old Republic as the light side. So they are quite a pale robe that looks very much like his classic look, but with brown leather accents and the classic mask. They haven't given away too much information about his abilities or how he'll fit in regards to the groupings. We assume he will be a Jedi and that he'll fit in the Old Republic tag, but we don't know much else yet. His launch event will be coming up in about a week, and they have revealed that you will need all of the other Old Republic characters that have been recently released. You'll need them all 7 stars. Now, these characters are fairly new to the game, so most of us have only got these characters to 3 or maybe 4 stars if you've been farming them since then. Bastila in particular would be a character that many of us, including myself, did farm up to 7 stars because she is quite a very powerful addition to the Jedi faction, but unless you're willing to spend many hundreds of dollars buying the crystals to level up these other characters, a lot of us are gonna just have to wait and watch when this event comes out. But I'm certainly excited to see Old Republic content continually being used and brought into Galaxy of Heroes, because it is still a very popular era for fans.
So the Star Wars show, they actually show some graphics, some imagery of the character as he will be seen in that game. Not in the Star Wars show proper, but also on the Star Wars YouTube channel, the second episode of the Our Star Wars Stories digital series has come out. In this one, Jordan Hemberer interviews Robin Bokra, who is a vintage collector predominantly, who's been around costuming as Princess Leia and so forth since the 70s and 80s, and she talks about the ways in which Star Wars and her Star Wars collection have inspired her and inspired her path in life. Moving on to store reports, a few new products at Cotton On stores locally in New Zealand. A series of 4 Christmas cards have just been introduced. They all feature designs utilizing vintage Star Wars action figures. They're priced at $2.99 each. I believe they have a promotion at the moment, or perhaps standard pricing, but one way or another, you can purchase 5 cards for $12. Their range includes many other cards, so if you're looking to grab some Star Wars vintage cards, you can fill in other gaps if you've got friends or relatives who aren't Star Wars fans as well. Also at Cotton On, Star Wars socks, three different designs, men's socks, priced at $11.99 each. One of these designs, again, also features vintage action figures in a quite bright, colourful, loud style. There are a couple of other slightly more subtle styles of sock designs there as well. All of the Cotton On products can be seen on their website as well as in many branches as these products roll out across the country. But if you order them online, you can click and collect from your local branch if you can't find them locally in the first instance. Vintage Action Figure t-shirts currently on sale at US$14 at TeePublic via Toys On A Shirt, the SWNZ affiliate. We'll put a link to that if you're a Vintage Action Figure fan. It looks like there's lots and lots of products that utilize Vintage Action Figure imagery going on just at this point in time. Some new products at the warehouse as well. A couple of Imperial Christmas decorations that we discovered a little bit by accident. They haven't shown up on the website yet, so you have to find those in store in the Christmas stands.
These are similar to the round baubles that the warehouse released last year. There was one that features Vader and one that features a Stormtrooper, and they're only $4 each.
We managed to get a closer look at the 2019 Star Wars calendars, also at the warehouse, priced at $15 each. Two versions. A square one that's imported that has page imagery that is all inspired by sort of classic designs. There's a few more vintage action figure pages within that. Other pages that remind me of the sort of vintage iron-on t-shirt designs and so forth. And a taller but smaller portrait edition, overall smaller portrait edition calendar that is exclusive to the warehouse. It has warehouse branding on the back. The internal pages of that are all artwork and a consistent design, but all based on original trilogy or classic characters that we're familiar with. We also took a quick look at an electronic lightsaber bottle opener priced at $29.99 at Real Groovy Records. This electronic lightsaber bottle opener makes sound effects when you open your bottle of beverage. It is actually a standard physical bottle opener. It is not a real lightsaber that you use to cut the top off your bottle, though. So rounding out our podcast, what would you consider your Star Wars highlights for the week?
Definitely the Revan reveal. I've been a KOTOR fan for a long time since the game came out, and I really enjoy the Old Republic era. So it's really fun to see that in this new sort of Disney era that some of the old classic stories are still showing the sort of attention and love that the fans really have for some of these characters. And I do still hold out hope that we'll see maybe a standalone movie or a TV series down the line that will take a new look at the Old Republic and maybe bring back a character like Revan back to the sort of the canon official timeline in the way that Rebels brought Thrawn back into the new era. So in the meantime, I'll be farming my characters and trying to work towards unlocking Revan for my own squads.
In the past week, I've enjoyed starting to read the Thrawn Alliances novel by Timothy Zahn, the follow-up to the Thrawn novel. Obviously, only partway through, but I'm thoroughly enjoying this one so far. The book is set in two timelines, basically, flipping backwards and forwards between them, but in both of them, Darth Vader and Thrawn are teamed up and are spending time at the Black Spire outpost on Batuu. So, as we mentioned before, there's a lot more reference to Batuu coming through in official publications. Yet to see exactly where this book is going, but I'm finding it very engaging so far, and when I get to the conclusion, I'll put a spoiler-free review up on SWNZ. So until next week, thank you for listening in. Stay tuned to our website, swnz.co.nz, for Star Wars news for New Zealanders and for our next weekly podcast episode. Follow our Facebook page and social media and chat with other fans in the Star Wars New Zealand Facebook group and website forums. The website forums, if you're a visitor there, you might notice that they've just had a bit of an upgrade. They are now considerably more mobile device friendly. So if you want to keep up to date with discussions with other fans on your phone or mobile device, check them out at swnzforums.co.nz. Thank you for listening.
May the Force be with you.